Good morning. All participants are now in the conference. This is Jean-Victor, your conference agent. Should you require any assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and I'll be happy to assist you. Please go ahead, Mr. Muto.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Colangelo. I'm with IPC Portfolio Services. We're here with Joseph Muto, Wealth Advisor of Investment Planning Council. He works closely with his clients to provide financial planning services and products to help them live their dream. His mission statement is hardworking solutions for hard-earned money. So good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, John.
Well, before I start, I just want to read a short disclaimer. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, expenses, all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently and past performance may not be repeated. The information in this call is derived in part by Council Portfolio Services. So, Joe, let's begin. Maybe you can give us a quick economic overview of the first quarter.
Yeah, if we look at the first quarter, I'm going to be talking a lot of quantitative easing this time, and that's basically the money going into the markets from different countries, like the U.S. buying bonds, stimulating the economy. And if you think of it as driving a car, if you step on the gas pedal, that is quantitative easing going in, and once they remove the gas pedal, it slows down. That's a slowdown of quantitative easing. So hopefully you put that in your mind and you understand what happens when it goes in and out. So the fear of the end of the QE has caused a lot of markets to kind of settle down. We do see the leaders around the world, Canada, Ireland, Portugal, and you know what? There really hasn't been that much quantitative easing in these three. Mm-hmm. The rest of Europe is, other than these two countries, have been mediocre. They're still in a recovery phase. Japan and the U.S., which are two biggest contributors of quantitative easing, and the fear of it has caused these markets to slow down, which has caused the emerging markets to slow down. And we got some other influences, such as the weather in Crimea.
Oh, very good, Joe. That's great background. Maybe you can comment on our Canadian dollar.
Again, with this QE, a fear of reduction has caused a drop in the U.S. dollar versus our Canadian dollar, which has been good for Canada. There was fear that our dollar was going to go back down to 60 cents, but it looks like it's hovering around that 91 cent mark. Oil prices and commodities moved up because of the Russian takeover of Crimea. Again, Canada being commodity-based has helped our dollar. And if we just look around the world, might be a flight to U.S. Treasuries in the near future, but right now it looks like the Canadian dollar is holding on.
Joe, maybe you could give us a, sort of a summary on what happened in the first quarter in the Canadian markets, then maybe the U.S. markets, and then finally internationally.
Okay, we'll start with Canada, being Canadian ourselves. Canada recovered more than the U.S. I guess Russia, again, going into the Crimea, helped with the commodity prices, which were commodity. Cold winter, right? Glad it's over. But it meant higher energy use, which was great for Canadian energy companies. We've seen earnings on corporations. They've been strong. The dividend yields on Canadian companies have been attractive. Again, if you've got a stock in a Canadian company, getting 4% or 5% dividend, it's a lot better than getting a 2% in a five-year GIC. And the Canadian market was up about 6% for the quarter. And the U.S. market, again, I'm going to say this soap opera over and over, but the fear of the QE led safety to the utilities and material sectors. Obamacare is helping the healthcare stocks. Valuations are getting to be a concern. And what I mentioned before is the cold weather. What happens is a lot of construction projects were delayed, and a lot of people in the U.S. and Canada weren't able to get to work or shop, and that has an effect on the economy. Mm-hmm. The winter is unusually cold this year, and places like Florida were not prepared for it. The Dow was just under 1% for the quarter, and if we look at the rest of the world and the international markets, again, Japan was affected by the fear of quantitative easing slowdown. China slowed down. There's a concern in China that the Chinese consumer themselves are not spending enough money on Chinese economy. Again, the fear of QE has caused the run of two utilities, as we've seen in the U.S. Europe, Germany displayed higher than a good industrial production. But they were flat. Europe didn't do much for the quarter. Japan, as I mentioned before, they were down 9%, and China was down 4%. And the best markets, as I mentioned, Portugal and Ireland. Portugal 16, Ireland at 10. And do you remember the pigs a few years ago when they talked about the pig economies? Well, two of those, being Portugal and Ireland, have done well.
Wow. Joe, in the news in the first quarter, really early in the year, we saw things in Russia. Is there going to be a Soviet reunion?
I hope not. The Soviet reunion. That's good, Chuck. But we did see Putin. He did take over in the Crimea. But the people of Crimea voted to be Russian. So it isn't one where they went into the country and the people didn't want them there. So the concern is that we may see another Cold War happening. I don't think so. We're a global economy now, and Russia has one of the largest commodity deposits. So if commodity prices go down, it hurts their economy. I don't see it, but you never know, and it's definitely something we got to keep an eye on.
Maybe you can give us an update on some of what your investment specialists are saying. Why don't we begin with our U.S. small cap investment specialist?
That's a good one to start, because the U.S. small cap is a good sector. I was fortunate to have lunch with one of the managers a couple weeks ago. And basically, here's what she said. She said, you know, the management team believes rise in equity markets have led to an increase in valuations of many businesses, which may not be warranted. This is a sign that in divesting public, right, so the investment is taking on records of levels of margin debt, and at a time when the market's reaching record highs. At the same time, we're witnessing an avalanche of initial public offerings with negative earnings, which is reminiscent of 2007 and 2000 market highs. So what they're saying is that as 2014 unfolds, they believe this year should be a time for sobriety, and the team continues to focus on investing in quality businesses, and there is a margin of safety to do so. So pretty well what they're saying, remember the dot-com disaster, is they're saying try to stay away from that. The market is getting a little bit high. Companies really aren't worth what they're trading for. And they believe by buying good quality companies at a discount, there's their safety.
Joe, I know you like investing in Canadian dividends. Maybe you can give us a quick synopsis on what your dividend investment specialist is saying at this point.
Well, Ryan Bushell, who's one of the managers at Leon Fraser, is our dividend specialist, and their view is that the U.S. economy is a self-sustaining mode. This is good news for Canada, of course, being our largest partner. The 50% drop approximately in the Canadian dollar from its high is actually a net positive. However, it's going to take time to see the effects of this through the broader Canadian economy. So the commodity producers are the early benefactors, right? So people are buying in U.S. dollars, and they make money both on the commodity and the actual difference in the dollar. And we'll see that this will be reflected in share prices. So really what they're saying, the U.S. is maybe high, but it's self-sustaining. And with the low dollar, our manufacturing and commodities are actually going to make good profit there.
Joe, I know you get questions about this, but maybe you can just highlight what's involved when replacing some of the investment specialists that you use in the portfolios.
That's a great question, John. As you know, we use a lot of portfolios, and each piece of the pie has its own separate investment specialist. And it isn't always necessarily because of return why we change a manager. Sometimes it's as the mandate drift. It could be the team itself. It could be managers leaving, managers getting hired, maybe a compliance issue. So we look at a lot of variables, not just return. So one of the ones that I'll highlight that was one that wasn't because of return was in the global real estate sector. And this was foreign securities move to Timber Creek Asset Management. Timber Creek, pure real estate asset manager, founded in 99. They have $3.5 billion under management with 30 investment professionals around the world. So that's a little background. Now what happened was, this is what's called a qualitative reason. The team at Forum moved from Citigroup to Forum. And it was felt that the team would integrate well with Forum partners' leadership and it would be positive. So it was believed that it would be a good marriage, right? You have a marriage of merging public real estate with private real estate. So the thought was that it'd be great support. It's a well-established private equity, real estate firm with lots of capital that could support the public size in the coming years as they grew. But, however, like some marriages, they don't work out as planned, and they need a divorce. So, you know, unfortunately, some promises weren't kept. Conflicts develop between the foreign security side and the investment partners, and the managers decided to go to Timber Creek, and council decided to move to Timber Creek with them. Now, the great benefit of being inside the portfolio is that we did this change for every investor in that foreign partners overnight for everybody. No tax consequences, and it was done for everybody. So I didn't have to phone every single person to do it. It was done for everybody.
Very good. So, Joe, I know you talked about it before, but maybe it's a good idea to highlight how some of your clients can listen directly from some of the comments of the portfolio managers in your audio casts.
On my website, AllisonFinancial.com, there's a market monitor tab. It's generally on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side. And we posted a few more in April. You can listen to some past ones as well. We have Sonal Desai. She's the portfolio manager and director of research for Templeton, or Franklin Templeton. She gives her thoughts on the U.S. debt and the effects of stimulus on the withdrawal. So again, with her version of this QE withdrawal. David Stonehouse, he's a fixed income manager at Acuity, and he's going to also talk about the QE withdrawal, as well as Canada's new finance minister and Canadian interest rates and inflation. And finally, we have Ryan Bushell, again, one of the dividend managers. He discusses the U.S. market, how he sees that it's safe, and he also gives us his opinion on this soap opera of the quantitative easing withdrawal. They're short, 5 minutes, they're worth listening to. You can listen to at your leisure.
Well, thank you very much, Joe. I'll be sure to listen to those audio casts. And again, thank you once again, and I look forward to our next call.
Thanks, John. I look forward to it, too. Our next one's probably going to be the third Thursday of August, around 12 noon again. In case you miss it, it will be posted on our website, and that have all the back ones, too. So people can go on conference call, listen to some previous ones if they wanted to compare. Feel free to email me at joe.muto@allisonfinancial.com. Always feel free to call 705-435-0001. Our commitment, your future. Thank you and goodbye.